people who love them.
We can't get 10 seconds.
It's all time. Becca. It's all Becca.
I'm trying so hard not to laugh.
All right. This is The Thing About Cars. Thank you again for listening to us. We are recording in the beautiful city of Atlanta in Strongbox West, hanging out with our friends.
Becca.
Dan.
Greg.
And we're going to just keep, this may be a very short episode. We only have two or three things to touch on today. But I want to start with a myth that I read about lately, that engine braking. Is engine braking a bad idea or not?
What's engine braking? I don't know what that is.
Engine braking is, well...
basically where you're using your engine to decelerate. You downshift and, you know, that pulls your speed down a little bit.
So you're using the transmission...
Okay, so that's for a stick shift.
You do it with an automatic.
Well, you can do it with an automatic.
Okay,
are we talking about the engine brake of an automatic then? Or manually shifting an automatic transmission too? Unfortunately, I've heard of it either way.
You could. But, you know, the whole notion is that you're turning kinetic energy into heat and other things by downshifting your transmission so that the car can't move as fast as it was moving a second ago.
Don't do it if it's a Ford. That's all I have to say.
If your throttle is closed and so the engine's not wanting to rev a lot, then applying a greater rotational speed from further down the drivetrain, that engine is going to resist that a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
And therefore slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some people who say it's very bad to do this. And then there's the rest of the world that says, nah, it's no problem. Do it. What do you guys think?
I don't know much about it, but it doesn't sound like a great idea.
Well, it's a compromise like anything.
Sure.
I'm okay with in a manual, or if it's an automatic, that's okay with switching into neutral while it's moving. You know, taking the load off the wheels while you're braking.
Sure, yeah.
But
I don't think it's bad for the engine. However, if you have a manual transmission, it can cause some clutch wear.
And if you're in a Ford and you do it with an automatic, it doesn't matter if you have a shift kit, you will run over your transmission. I'm just, not that I'm speaking from experience in a 1983 Mustang.
Oh, is that what
tells me? Sorry, I just laughed all over.
Let's take it from Becca.
What not to do with Becca?
We've written a handful of topics on the boards today. One is chump cars. Greg, what is a chump car?
Chump car is a form of sports car racing that's basically designed to be a little bit more cost effective than, let's say, the SCCA road racing group, where the cars are built to certain specifications and such. Chump car is a partially built car, and then the body and such is not as pristine as some of the others. So they call them chump cars. They do have professional drivers that actually do drive them along with amateurs, and I would imagine it makes for a very interesting field and an interesting race.
And there's a race happening October, 28, 29, something like that, at Road Atlanta in Dawsonville. So
it is a modified car.
It is a modified car, yes.
It's not like these other car races I've seen that are like, I can't remember what they're called right now, but it's basically you're driving a lemon across country. You know, it has to be a car that cost you less than $1,000.
Yes. That's the lemons. And that's kind of a little bit different. It's got a roll cage in it, but it doesn't have any suspension pieces they're very minimal changes. The chump cars have a little bit more modifications done underneath the body that you can't see. Is the chump car race going to be in Dawsonville?
Yeah, it's in Dawsonville. I know, because schedule something with my boyfriend.
That's Atlanta Motorsports
Park. Oh, that's right. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
I got them mixed
up. The lemons will be in Road Atlanta, I understand, the second weekend of December.
Yeah,
which is the first time they've ever been on the real road course up there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they're usually at Atlanta Motorsports Park, which is a lot slower and a lot narrower.
Sure.
So they would have a really big time pushing each other around on the big track.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Might go watch that one.
I won't be able to go to the chump car race. I'm working like
80,
a wedding.
80 right amateurs there. On Road Atlanta in cars that don't handle very well.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Cars Turn that don't five. Handle very well. Yeah. I've got a few, or a couple I could bring up there.
Yeah, you probably got one or two. Sounds
Mine wants to go straight.
Yeah.
All right.
I recommend watching from around turn five.
Turn five. Why? What's on turn five?
It eats a lot of cars.
Okay.
See, now I really want to go.
Turn three
though.
The top of the S's is good, because you can still see turn five, too.
That's right.
So when this episode airs, we should post a picture of the map or something like that, the course map or,
probably.
Or something. But I want to pick on Road and Track again. In a recent podcast episode, we sort of razzed on Road and Track's list of cool car names once upon a time. One of their esteemed authors has published a list on the 16 most powerful wagons on sale today. So we're talking station wagons, right?
So we're talking modern.
Yeah. Ugly.
Modern, and some of them are, in fact, quite ugly. Like we'll just, I'm just going to jump right in.
They still make station wagons?
They still make station wagons. Well, remember, the Magnum, the Dodge Magnum, which I don't think is in production anymore, was the fastest production car class for a while.
This goes back to the previous podcast of the Lotus and Volvo being bought by the same company. I was trying to make a remark about it could be a station wagon that handles like it's on rails. And they have a station wagon that's not terribly ugly.
So, number one.
It's like the soccer mom vans for you.
Don't even say soccer mom.
So the number one item on this list is the Porsche Panamera, which is very ugly.
I wouldn't call it a wagon.
I wouldn't call it a wagon either.
What would you call it?
Ugly.
Just ugly.
I'm
trying to high five him across the table. Oh, long arms. Go ahead. Thank you.
All right. Item number two on this list, most powerful wagons, is the Audi RS6 Avant Performance, which generates 605 horses.
I'm sorry, a name that long from a company like Audi just increases how much money they're asking.
That's
for.
Me reading the thing, right? So, right.
Well,
you could just call it the RS6 and probably be done with it. But,
And to give some perspective, about 4 years ago when I was over in Germany on a business trip, I got to ride in somebody's Audi wagon. It was an A6. It was metallic steel gray. It was a sleeper. It looked like a family hauler, but the guy had a twin turbo diesel V6 in it. I forget what the horsepower was, but there were five of us in the car, and it took off down the Autobahn. You know, it sucked me into the seats.
Nice.
I was like, whoa.
I can respect that.
This was rear-wheel drive? Or?
Yeah, it may have been all-wheel. I'm not sure.
That's true. Audi does. Five people
in the car, and it took off like nobody's business, and we were all getting pulled into our seats. It was exciting.
See, that makes me think about it from my road trips up to Michigan until I realized that my family will not let me spend the night if I show up in an import.
So this performance thing has a 4-liter twin-turbo V8.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same engine you get in the RS7 performance. It's the Audi. It's the Audi. Item number three on this list. The Mercedes AMG E63.
mine was on purpose. Becca's was not.
I thought I had somebody thinking the same here.
No, I just had a coffee.
603 horsepower. Again, another 4-liter twin-turbo V8. It comes with all-wheel drive, but you could disconnect the front axle if you want to do any drifting, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. That's so tempting, but... Mercedes.
I'm sure it's got some great get up and go, but the resale value is going to suck.
Oh, well, totally. The resale value is
drifting.
Because
all that weight in the back end.
You put us next to each other.
Now, one thing that nobody's mentioned yet, though, it's that where wagons sometimes have a performance advantage is because their body style tends to be very stiff in terms of torsion and roll stiffness.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah.
The next wagon on this list is also another Mercedes AMG, a CLS 63, 577 horses. The next one after that, I'm getting kind of mad at this author now because the next vehicle is another Porsche Panamera.
Okay.
And the next vehicle is another Mercedes AMG. And then another Porsche. And then another Audi. Right?
And see, if Eric could bother showing up to a podcast, he would be all over the Mercedes ones talking about how fabulous. And no, all this power. But
Eric, where are you? Get your butt over here.
And the Mercedes ones all kind of run together for
That's
me.
That's what I'm talking to you.
Say again, Ben?
I think the Mercedes models all kind of run together unless you're seriously into them.
I agree. I think that, you could say the same thing about the Porsches unless you're
really serious. Just smiling over here. I'm curious to your thoughts.
No, that's fine.
So why can't we mention some older ones then?
Older one what?
Station wagons.
Because they're ugly.
Well, I think at this point we should. Like, number 15 on this list is finally a Volvo makes the list.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but the venerable old Volvo V70R has a great engine in it, and it was a powerful wagon. It was meant to be, like, for soccer dads, actually, who wanted something sporty but still get to be in a station wagon. Becca's laughing.
Yeah. I'm picturing that Volvo like in California with some hippie surfer dudes in it.
Yeah.
I could take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But the Dodge Magnum was another great powerful wagon. I mean, granted, not 500 horsepower like some of these other European cars, but
you could wrench it that way. Yeah. It's got a good base.
Yeah.
It's one of the appeals for me for the cars that I like, the American platforms. There's a lot of wrench room.
Yep.
That you can play. And I did. I seriously considered the Magnum, but the front end, why couldn't it look like the Charger more and not...
Right.
I'm making a lot of sound effects.
I worked on a Honda, kind of tangent here. I worked on a Honda Fit last week or the week before and did a valve adjustment. Good Lord, that engine was tight, y'all. Like, I mean, yeah, I know it's a tiny car, the Honda Fit, but Jesus.
Yeah, less
so it was my first time doing a valve adjustment, and it was successful, but good. You guys were all kind of on call. Thank you for questions. Well,
the first time I saw a mini engine compartment, I realized I could not fit my hand between the radiator and the engine wall.
And I was doing it with a busted wrist, so.
Smaller hands.
It was a little extra difficult.
Oh, man.
Yeah, small hands, but then I have a bad wrist. I couldn't turn it.
Well, even small hands, though, even small hands do not make it easier to change the canister purge valve on a 1987 4.6-4. It's just
well, yeah.
So I'm a little disappointed in that particular reading from Road and Track. It's like, how did they let that particular author get away? Unless they expect all of their fans to be so persnickety about the variations between different AMG models or something.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the average person doesn't
Let's
do
move
that,
on.
Wait, I'm still, on. I'm trying to find a picture. Oh, my God. I found one, but somebody's jacked it up.
Probably makes it.
We may not publish much of this one at all.
That, no, it's, I mean, for a station wagon. Okay, now,
terrible.
Here's one of the power
this
ones.
Episode.
It was actually a very.
Ugly.
Formable, or what's the word I'm going?
Ugly. This is an ugly. Gunnable. Station wagon, you guys.
Yeah.
It's the 1984.
Never liked the looks of those.
Well, what is
compared
that?
To some
Evil
of the other
wagon.
Ones,
oh, yeah.
Would you rather have a Vista Cruiser?
Yes.
Not engine. We're not talking engine. We're talking looks. Yes, the Vista Cruiser had a decent engine.
But, yeah, that little window across the roof was awesome.
Yeah.
But I would argue that thing you're looking at, because Becca's looking at a what now?
It's a night. Well, this one that came up was 1983. I was trying to pull up the 84. It's the AMC Eagle wagon, and it's an all-wheel drive. Air quote sports car.
I would argue that's one of the first crossovers. They just weren't calling them those in those days.
But crossovers are different nowadays. Just like a lot of trucks nowadays aren't even built on truck frames. So crossover, CUV, SUV, truck is getting skewed too. So it's, I guess it depends on what kind of
it's half car, half stationary.
Frame it's on. So anyways.
So what else we got? We're 13 minutes into this episode, and we're disorganized, and we've run out of topics.
Fun cars, lemons, ugly station wagons.
Right.
Some have power.
I have a problem with that, just the fact that they just, as far as I'm concerned, it's a junk article.
Okay, because yeah. I thought they were listing best, so I was...
They're listing powerful, but, you know, what they're listing to me is just junk.
Yeah.
That's like Ferrari's, $299... four-passenger sports car?
Something like that, yeah.
Did 200 miles an hour? Who's going to put their family in the backseat of a sports car and go 200 miles an hour?
Sammy Hagar.
You know.
Well, my hand up over
that
here.
That German guy with the Audi wagon did 130 with his kids in the back.
Well, yeah, but that's what they do.
I'm kidding, yeah. But, yeah,
that's
no, he
do.
Well, he did,
five
but he wouldn't have done 200.
For the kids.
I don't know which Ferrari this is, but I was actually not excited about this one, you guys. I'm going to pass it around. I just local. I saw this just the other
day. I like
day.
The
it's
color.
A new one. Yeah, the color is nice, but the body just looked kind
Baby's
of
bleh. Baby's got back.
It just didn't excite me. Like all the, it was the first time I've seen a Ferrari that I really was just like, meh.
It's all bulbous. Kind
which
of
Ferrari
of
is
pass
that?
It around.
I don't even 458.
I don't know which one. I didn't
it looks
a
lot like
back.
An old Scirocco.
Reach. I just saw this in a parking lot at work
oh,
the other
no.
day. I should have taken a picture of the back and seen which one it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, that's easier. I think it's a 458, but I can't tell.
It's a newer one.
The Volkswagen
Corrado. It looks like they were trying to go right. for a little bit of the Dodge Charger Challenger feel, and I'm like, don't do that. Ferrari, you're Ferrari. You're not Dodge. Right.
They have been moving back toward front engines at Ferrari.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. I wonder why.
I think retro appeal.
Huh.
Huh.
Where did I bring it up again, though? Because I had talked about the long-distance road trips and all that. Now I'm trying to remember how I was going to put that in smoothly, and I forgot how I was going to do that. But one of the ones I'd been looking at, older Ford Broncos. to be odd. Family friendly, can handle ice and snow, kind of, you know, they can stretch out.
Well, let's do this. Whatever. Let's revisit.
But you can go camping in it.
Let's do this. Let's revisit the whole road trip notion, because we talked about this in one of our earlier episodes that's not currently hosted online. But, you know, what makes the issue then was, what do you take on a road trip? What makes for a good road trip? And what kind of vehicle should you drive on a road trip? We covered all those questions within another podcast, but I think it's worth revisiting, because
I think it was mostly what emergency stuff do you have and what snacks do you take was right. A big portion of that conversation. So right. We can talk about the cars or
summer road trip, winter road trip too.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why I was trying to think. Michigan pretty much doesn't have snow 2 months of the year. So neither one of my cars would be well equipped to deliberately drive into that situation.
When I lived in Canada, I just, you know, they'd send me off for a couple hours to go to the plant, and they're like, well, you need blankets and a shovel and water.
Oh, your
and
emergency,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, what, you know, because I wasn't used to that. But that's, they carry that in their car all from November to June.
Yeah, well, and all of my family, they're talking about putting their cars like mine in the garage now.
Yeah.
And they go through this whole seasonal.
Yes.
She's passing her phone.
Either that or sticking loads of firewood in the trunk.
My mom wanted me to put cinder blocks in the trunk because she, being from Michigan, that's what they would do. Heavily weighted, way down the back end.
Yep.
Bags of sand will do the same thing.
Yep. But you weight down the back end. When I had a pickup truck in the winter, I'd throw half a quart of wood in the back of it. Mm-hmm. Around down here just to make sure I'd get around.
Just to leave it in there?
Yeah. That would be my winter wear.
If we have another snow apocalypse here, you can just have a bonfire in the middle of 75 and invite everybody else out, you know.
Take pictures, Walking Dead kind of style. Yeah.
I like it. Let's do it. Absolutely. Well, we may have just run out of topicality for this topic. We may not have.
Well, here, I'll say what's going on over here.
Good enough.
I've been trying to get one of my friends involved with the podcast. He wanted me to give a shout out to Mopar, and I used one of the classic jokes for what Mopar stands for, and he asked me for one of my co-podcasters to smack me, and I handed it to Mickey, but he refuses to smack me.
Well, I'll do it later when we're done.
As a Mopar person, I'd be happy to do it.
You want
it?
Well, you're across the table. It's a lot harder. I know.
Somebody to throw something at you?
She would be gentle. Yeah. I was asking Mickey. I mean, I heard he likes smacking people.
We'll
around,
do it when we're off mic,
don't tell,
actually.
Don't tell his fiance.
Right. Oh, no, I didn't say women.
I'm teasing.
All right, I think that's we're going to wrap it up, because otherwise we're going to be rambling for the next 18 minutes. And
thanks
just
for listening to us ramble
too.
Once in a while, guys.
Yes, thanks, you guys. We please find us online at thethingaboutcars.com or on Facebook at our Thing About Cars page. And we would welcome your suggestions on other things we really should spend some concerted time talking about and discussing and debating. Fun stuff, serious stuff. Tell us what's wrong with your car. Tell us what's, you know, irking you about the car industry, or just what you're doing for fun in the car. And we want your car stories.
That's a whole other episode. That's a whole what you're doing for fun in the car.
Right. So
that's the Valentine's Day episode.
Well, as always, recording in Strongbox West. We will see you guys next time. Thanks very much.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.